This is Seattle's Morning News. There's new research indicating that there is a magical substance in the blood of athletes, or actually anybody who exercises, which can actually help heal the brain. And we've contacted one of the authors of this study, Dr. Casey Fairchild, who is the Associate Director of the Mental Illness Research, Education, and Clinical Center with the Department of Veterans Affairs. And let's explain the sequence of events here. There was an experiment done on mice who had a lot of exercise, taking their blood and putting it into sedentary mice. And what did they find?
They found that those mice that were injected with the athletic blood had improvements in learning and memory.
So even mice that hadn't exercised at all basically got the benefits of the mice that had exercised by this blood exchange.
Exactly.
Okay, so then you took that concept and you ran with it. So describe your experiment.
What we did, so this was research that was funded by the Department of Defense and the Department of Veterans Affairs. And we recruited veterans aged 50 to 89 who had a condition known as mild cognitive impairment. And so when you're thinking about cognition, it exists on a continuum. And at one side of the continuum, you have normal cognitive changes. And on the other side of the continuum, you have dementia, of which Alzheimer's disease is a type. And so what we were trying to do is try to target those who are at greater risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. And so this is a group of people who have what's known as mild cognitive impairment. And this is, it's a condition in which a person has problems with memory that's beyond what you would expect for their age, but not at a level that would warrant a diagnosis of dementia. And so we had a group of veterans, again, aged 50 to 89, that participated in a combined aerobic and resistance exercise program. And so what that was is they came in 3 days a week to our VA. And for 30 to 40 minutes, they participated first in aerobic exercise. And so when we're thinking about exercise as a medicine, there are specific targets. There's a dose, and we do that based on intensity. And so we were shooting for moderate to vigorous intensity exercise, and that's based on their heart rate. And so they did that for 30 to 40 minutes. And then after participating in the aerobic exercise, they engaged in 20 minutes of resistance exercises. And so this, we used resistance bands. You could also use dumbbells. And they participated in this again 3 days a week for 6 months. And what we found was that for those veterans who participated in this exercise, they had significant improvements in their learning and memory, which was really exciting because this is a group that has impaired learning and memory by virtue of having mild cognitive impairment. And the exciting link to the mouse research is that in those veterans who had the improvements in learning and memory, they also had significant increases in this protein clusterin.
So how do you measure that their cognitive ability increased along with the clusterin protein in their blood? What kind of improvement are we talking about?
Look at memory from a couple different angles. And so one of the tests that we use to look at memory involves remembering a list of words. And so this is what we call verbal memory. And so we saw significant improvement in verbal memory, meaning that they could remember more words presented after a certain number of trials. And then they were able to, what's exciting, retain that information after a delay in which they were presented with other tasks and tests that we did with them. And so we saw improvements in verbal memory. And then we also saw improvements in something called episodic memory. And so episodic memory, as the name implies, is memory for things like episodes or stories. And we saw significant improvements in that, both immediately after the presentation of the material and also very importantly, after a delay in which we, again, had them engage in other tasks and tests. And so they were able to both encode the information, so they're able to get it into their brain in a more efficient manner, and they're able to retain that information after a delay and then bring it back up on command.
This seems like the biggest endorsement for those of a certain age to continue to be active at an age when you don't really want to be active.
100%. And I will say, I don't know if there is an age in which people really do want to be active, unfortunately. But definitely we do see a decline in physical activity as people age, which is unfortunate because that's a time in our life when we need to be increasing our activity.
So how do you know that the clustering is involved in this and is not just something that happens is increased as a coincidence?
Looking at lots of different proteins, hundreds of proteins in the sample, and the protein that was consistent both in mice and in humans was the clusterin. And those humans who had the greatest increases in the cognitive in memory and learning also had the greatest improvements in clusterin. It's correlational because we didn't specifically inject anyone in with clusterin or anything like that. But it is very, very promising.
So you know what the next step is. It's to isolate the clusterin so we can get the benefits without the annoyance of doing all this exercise. So do you think that's what's going to happen here?
I definitely think the research is promising. But, you know, clusterin is one of many proteins that A is associated with cognition and B is associated with activity. And so whether it's clusterin or whether it's another protein that we haven't identified yet, I do think it's very promising that we're able to identify a protein that changes based on activity level. And then we're able to inject that protein into a sample of mice who are genetically engineered to have cognitive impairment, and that you actually see improvements in cognition. Now, again, this is very, very preliminary and has only been done in mice, but it is very promising, again, that you're able to take things that occur in the blood and inject them into sedentary mice and be able to see the cognitive improvements without them having to, as you say, put in the work.
When I read through this study in the New York Times, what immediately came to mind for me reading, you know, athletes have more of this and it's shown to improve memory in mice. I think about athletes with CTE and wonder how that jives with their ability to be uber athletic, yet their brains are failing them.
And so with CTE, so CTE is another disease of proteins, but it's a disease of proteins that have run amok. So with CTE, you have tau pathology. Tau is another protein. And with CTE, there's a very clear link regarding head injuries and leading to the accumulation of that protein. And so we definitely haven't looked at clustering within that paradigm.
Would you like to? I guess I'm kind of wondering, am I uncovering something for you here?
I'm an Alzheimer's researcher. Again, I definitely I'm a football fan and I follow CTE from a distance, but I'm definitely not qualified to be able to comment on that.
Fair enough.
But this work implies that vampires would do well to target athletes, right?
Well, unless if the vampire is concerned about developing Alzheimer's disease, yes.
Okay. Dr. Casey Fairchild is the author of this study and works with the Mental Illness Research, Education, and Clinical Center with the Department of Veterans Affairs. Casey, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Let's go! It's time for Choke Points, brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage. Should the state move or even eliminate the ferry dock at Fauntleroy? All options are on the table as the ferry system looks to fix the dock and eliminate all the neighborhood congestion. Cairo News Radio's Chris Sullivan has the details.
The Fauntleroy Dock was built in the 1950s, and it really should have been replaced years ago. It's a vital link to Vashon Island and Southworth. It's the fourth busiest ferry route in the system, serving more than 3 million vehicles a year pre-COVID. There are both structural and operational issues with the Fauntleroy Dock. Director of Terminal Engineering Dave Sowers says the old wooden pilings need a seismic upgrade.
They're seismically risky in a big event. We think, in fact, at this terminal, for example, in a moderate earthquake, we could lose parts of the terminal.
And then there is the operational problem. The boats that service the route carry 124 cars. The dock holding area only has space for about 80 cars.
On a single sailing, you've got, you know, at least 40 to 50 cars just for one boat piled up on the city street backed up towards Lincoln Park.
That backup has a huge impact on the community around the dock. So what can you do about it?
We're going to look at replacing in kind. We're going to look at, you know, bigger, longer, and we're going to look at relocation. Everything's on the table.
And Sowers says that includes eliminating the dock and making the runs from Southworth and Vashon directly to Coleman Dock in downtown Seattle. The ferry service moved the Mukilteo terminal about a year ago, but there was land nearby for the ferry service to acquire. It doesn't have that luxury at Fauntleroy.
The state or one of our partners doesn't have a lot of real estate that we can just say, oh, well, there's where we can park 200 cars.
And I don't think the city of Seattle would just volunteer a few acres of Lincoln Park either. Construction for the new terminal is scheduled to be funded by the legislature in the 2025 to 2027 biennium.
You know, we cannot afford to sit around on our hands and wait for this problem to solve itself.
Chris Sullivan, Cairo News Radio.
And now your daily dose of kindness. It's brought to you by Heritage Homecraft. And also, I want to issue a correction. Our ace afternoon editor, Diane Duthweiler, let me know that the Sun Bowl is at 9 Pacific, 10 Mountain. I had sent 10 o'clock in my newscast. So 9 o'clock in case you want to tune into the Sun Bowl. Now to your daily dose. During the season of giving, here's a follow-up on a CBS story about a mechanic in South Carolina who puts people in the driver's seat. CBS's Mark Strassman reports.
Elliot Middleton works magic under hoods, smoking barbecue at his restaurant, and repairing donated cars.
Here are the keys to it.
Thank you.
He gifts them to people without a ride in rural South Carolina. More than 60 vehicles so far.
They now know that there's somebody in the community that was looking out for them and cared for them to be able to carry on.
After our June story about Middleton, our viewers donated dozens of used vehicles.
The Kings, come on and check it out.
He gave away 12 cars for the 12 days of Christmas.
You have no idea how much it means to me.
I'm so glad to be able to help.
Asia Green got this 2006 Honda Civic.
This is going to help a lot.
To this single mom, it's like Santa pulled up and gave her his sleigh.
I always am like having to wait and borrow people's cars.
Now you got one.
So sorry.
No, you're good.
Made possible because of your generosity.
What has that taught you about people?
With somebody pushing the iron, there's going to be folks behind you that's pushing the iron as well, too.
Hey.
For the Greens, a used car, a new start. Mark Strassman, CBS News, Awandaw, South Carolina.
Seattle's Morning News. I'm Aaron Mason in for Dave Ross here with Colleen O'Brien. And, of course, joining us from the G and Ursula Show weekdays 9 to noon right here on Cairo Radio, it's G. Scott. Good morning, G.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. What's happening?
Well, I'm going to ask you what's happening because yesterday we talked about it, and the saga apparently continues. You've been trying to get out of town, catch a flight, but as far as I know, have not had any success. Can you give us an update?
Man.
There it is.
The airport is, I've never seen it that way. So on Sunday, try to get out of to Chicago, flight got canceled. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So, hey, what's up with my bag? No, you basically have to come back tomorrow for your bag. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. Hopefully they'll have my bag here when I show up tomorrow because I'm going to buy another flight.
Mm-hmm.
I bought another flight on Delta so I can get out of Chicago. So I did the show yesterday from here and then, boom, headed to the airport. So I figured I would get there really early. My flight wasn't until 5:50. I would get there early. I got there early around 1 o'clock so I can go downstairs and figure out the bag. The bag situation, it took me 2.5 hours just to get told that my bag got shipped to Chicago.
What? So your bag made it out of town, but you didn't.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Which weird, because how would you guys fly my bag out when you didn't even have
when
me
the
confirmed,
planes work out
and you didn't have me confirm another flight? But wow, it took me 2.5 hours to be in line, and that included me offering a guy $100 to cut in line, but he let me cut in line. That's another story in itself.
Did you?
So
did he take the $100?
He did not take the $100.
But he let you cut.
But he let me cut, and he. But he ended up with $100, and I'll explain that story on my show. It's a real cool story. It was a guy looking for his bag. He's from the Congo in Africa, and he's a college student. And he had lost his bag with his laptop. Amazing story.
Good. Wow.
So here we are. Then they said Delta, you're not getting that flight's going to be canceled too. So finally, I just say, you know what? It's no big deal. I'm just going to go home now. Even though that there's frustration on my part. I want to just kind of take you guys into the real frustration going on there. There are people having their flights canceled. The airlines or airports, they're not doing anything about it because they, you know, there's like, hey, sorry, we can't handle your lodging. So you got to figure that out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Ubers and Lyfts and ride shares are charging crazy money.
I've heard.
Right. There's no lodging within 30 minutes of the airport. Right. So it is. And so and let's be real. We are in the United States of America. You guys do know that there's a lot of people who don't even have $300 to $400 extra dollars in their savings account. So therefore, people that I remember these days, I used to be flying broke. You know what I mean? Like all my money is wrapped up in the travel. Right.
Right.
There's a lot of people sleeping in the airport, struggling. And then like so. I would assume that you had the snow, the ice, and I'm quite sure you had some folks with COVID is the reason why all of these planes have been canceling and doing all those things. It's just a frustrating thing. It's just a time bomb to happen.
Yeah, I've read online accounts, and this is just like unverified Reddit chatter, but people who claim to work at airports, specifically it was SeaTac, and they were saying that they showed up and a task that is normally a crew of something like 120 people, there were 20 people.
Oh,
yeah.
Because everyone was sick or whatever.
Well, how stressful for them, couldn't too, the 20 there. Doing the job, right? They've got people yelling at them. They've got more 15-hour
days.
Oh.
But I want to take this time, even though it sounds like I'm complaining, which, like I said, I can't really complain. I'm home. I'm talking to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I slept in my bed. I was warm.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a real big shout out to those that are working in the airport, because I'm telling you, there were people like, sorry, sir. Sorry, ma'am. That's not my department. And you guys know, if you have an opportunity to just talk to somebody, it looks like they're in uniform.
Right.
They're just letting them have it.
Right.
So there was a lot of amazing people that was trying to do the best that they can. And it was just an unfortunate situation that happens. And one last thing I got to say, in my 40 some years of living, you know how many flights I've had canceled? This is just the first ones.
Oh.
Like I've never had flight canceled before. So
I don't know if I have either. Honestly,
yes.
I've had delays, but never cancellations.
No, I did. I did have one flight canceled, but it was a small.
And I also want to say I'm appreciative because I'm 100% in the plane, like meaning like I take off and I land. So I'm 100% there. I'm not crashed at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the light at the end of the tunnel. It's just a frustrating time. It all hit at absolutely once. But I have so much empathy for those that are there. I saw a lady stomping and crying and just talking about like, I don't want to sleep here anymore.
Adult toddlers.
Yeah.
We see them all the time. Minor inconveniences just send them off their rocker. And I try to, even in grocery store lines when it takes a long time, I try to practice patience because really, like, I'm sure there are people who have important places to go and important people to see, but most of us, not really. Like, a 10-minute delay is not going to ruin my day or make me miss anything. I know you had an important reason to be in Chicago, G. So, you know, you had a reason to create some noise and try to get on an airplane. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's all good. But the one thing I want to say, I want to talk about that young man who did not take my $100 to let me cut in line. He did not take my hundred. I'm like, here, no, take it. He says, no. I don't. Your money was no good. So he lets me stand there, and then I find out that he had lost his backpack. He's a college student. He's like, I just hope they have my backpack. He's like, what happened was it wasn't that he got checked or anything. He accidentally left it down by luggage, by baggage claim as he was waiting for his checked bag. And so he went to go run to get on the bus the day before he left his backpack. Well, now he's in the line. He's looking for his backpack. And I'm like, oh, so what's in it? He's like, oh, it's my laptop and a few other things. He was like, oh, all I care is my laptop. Everything is in there. And I don't, you know, that's going to be a struggle. So here this young man has a backpack is probably missing and his laptop's missing. He's worried about the laptop and he does not want to take my $100. So I thought that was interesting.
Mm.
Anyways, I waited there with him. They found his backpack, and we're getting ready to leave. We had an amazing conversation in a line for 2.5 hours. And I said, all right, man, good luck to you. He's going back to Idaho State. I said, hey, remember that 100? Yeah, you're taking that right now, man. Go enjoy yourself,
aww,
brother.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So he ended up getting a $100 bill.
Heck yeah, man. That's really cool of you. Ladies and gentlemen, G. Scott, stick around for the G and Ursula show. It's on at 9 a.m. right after Seattle's Morning News. Good luck, G. Wish the best.
Thanks for listening to Seattle's Morning News. I'm Dave Ross.
And I'm Colleen O'Brien. Thanks for listening to the show's podcast. We're happy you're here.
And you can keep up with the show and find some of the stories from today online at MyNorthWest.com.